Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for the gospel of grace. We thank you, Father, for your mercy towards us. And we thank you that out of that grace, that every provision has been made for our lives. And we just thank you for revelation knowledge. Now, Father, I just declare that this word will go forth. It will minister grace to those that hear. And I declare that they all have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying and not just what I'm saying. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We'll start in verse 8. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with what? It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Now let's go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So you have to get this concept. You have to understand as it relates to Jesus. When you think about Him, you've got to see Him as who He really is, as how the Word of God describes Him. And it says that He was full of what? Grace and truth. Last night, Seth and I went to Chili's to eat. We decided to get some chili. That was a mistake last night because mine was still somewhat cold. But they have this new dessert there. What do they call this thing? It's like a cinnamon molten cake with ice cream. Yeah. With the cinnamon cream on the inside of it. It is of God. And so I thought, get a little bowl of chili, save room for the dessert. I got most of the dessert finished. I'm like, that's enough. Seth has already cleaned his up. And he looked at mine. He said, you going to eat that? I said, no. He said, well, hand it over. We got to the car, and Seth is going, oh, and he said, I ate too much. Seth was full of cinnamon dessert and all of that. He was full. As a matter of fact, I was concerned that it was going to be an overabundance, and it might come back out. Now, I use that as a visual example because we've all overeaten and we've all been full. But when it says that Jesus is full of grace, you know, we sometimes focus on His power. We focus on His love. But right here, He really wants us to get this mindset that He was full of grace and truth. Now, let's go down to verse 16. And of His fullness have we all received. Of His fullness have we all received. What are we receiving from Him? Are we receiving the answers to our prayers? Are we receiving righteousness? Are we receiving wisdom? Are we receiving all of those things? Yes, Jesus has been made to us, but really, out of His fullness, we're receiving everything else. How can I say this before we move on to the things that the Lord's been laid on my heart. Sometimes we get so focused on one thing at a time, something in our life, something that we're asking God for, a call of God on our life, wisdom, these things. And we become very targeted towards specific things, right? And so once we target healing, or once we target success, or once we target family issues or peace and all of that, then we're moving on to the next target. And what's happening is what we're doing is we're kind of circling around trying to get one thing at a time, when all that we need to do is we need to start out in the place that all of these things exist. If we will get this concept that Jesus is full of grace, and that God is pouring his grace out on us, that when we get to a place that we are receiving the grace of God, then guess what? All of these other things start lining up. You don't have to go there and say, Lord, I got to work on this healing. Lord, I got to work on my job situation. Lord, I got to work on my family, because now I'm walking in a place of grace. I'm receiving out of what he is full of. And I'm allowing that. See, he's full of grace. He's full of truth. And as he's walking in it as a man on the earth, he didn't lack anything. He didn't have problems with sickness. He didn't have, I mean, even when they tried to throw him off the side of a hill, he walked right through it. Even when they tried to kill him, he just walked right through it. Even when they thought to go arrest him, he just walked right through it. Why? Because he was living in this place of abundant grace. Now, go with me to Romans chapter 3. I'm just kind of relaying this foundation for just a moment before we move on. Romans chapter 3. Nope, I'm wrong. Let's go to chapter 5. So let's look at verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God. What God keeps telling me and keeps having me go back to is this much more, this abundance of grace. Okay, so we see that Jesus was full of grace, and that we've received out of his fullness. Now, even though, you know, we have a tendency to look at Adam and Eve and say, why did you mess us up? Why, you know, we think that once we get to heaven, there's going to be a line of people just wanting to kind of just talk to Adam and Eve about the issues. Listen, I wouldn't have had to go through all of this if it hadn't been for that piece of fruit that was hanging off the tree. But see, what God is wanting us to do is not focus on the strength of sin and what the devil is doing and the offense that happened with Adam and Eve. He wants us to focus on much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, and that grace has abounded to many. Now let's go down to verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, death ruled, sin was the dominant force in this world, then much more they which receive abundance of grace. Say abundance. Abundance. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3 tells us, now thanks be unto God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Amen. And we have lived such limited lives as Christians, limited lives as believers, just saying, just get me past my problem. We got to take the limits off. Amen. Receive abundance of grace. Abundance. It is so more than capable to handle your situation. Let me give you an example. Paul's thorn in the flesh. Now, traditionally, churches try to teach that that was a sickness, but it wasn't. Let's turn over and look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm just obeying the Holy Spirit, taking this trail for a moment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 7, he said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." Now, just get a picture of this. Paul was a grace preacher. Paul was getting people out from under the law. Paul was talking about we are free in Christ. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. He was getting on. He got on to the church at Galatia because they would not stay in the grace that they had received to begin with, and they wanted to move back to works, right? And so Paul was getting a revelation. He was so sure, and I talked about this last week, but he was so sure about what he was preaching, he said that if an angel of God comes and starts preaching something else, then let him be cursed. Why? He was getting revelation of the grace of God. He didn't get it from Peter. He didn't get it from John. He didn't talk to them. Jesus himself actually showed him what grace was. So when he says, I'm getting all of this abundance of revelations, and something happened to try to keep me from being exalted. Now, who does the exalting? God does. We're going to look at this in just a moment. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, tradition and seminaries will try to teach you that this was a sickness. You have to go to Bible college and seminaries to really learn how to misunderstand the Bible. Because they just don't think that you can read it for yourself and understand it. Well, the reason they don't think that is because they haven't got to a place that they are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can teach them what the Word of God is saying so that they can rightly discern the Word of truth. And so what they are doing is creating doctrines of man based on their own natural thinking. Was that too harsh? It's truth. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, not a sickness, but what? The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, that word messenger is the same word for angel. It's angelos. So is the demonic spirit that followed Paul wherever he went. And he talks about the things that he went through. Shipwrecks, beaten. You know, he had some difficult times that he went through as he is, you know, I mean, he had crowds that came out against him. He got put into jail. Those crowds were stirred up by this angel, by this messenger, by this demonic spirit that was trying to keep him from being exalted, that was trying to keep him from going to where God wanted him to go. God wasn't trying to keep him exalted. Satan was trying to keep him from being exalted. This was a messenger of Satan. So Paul is still in this process of trying to get a revelation of what he needs to do in this situation. So look at what he says. So for this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And Jesus said, God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So therefore, he said, most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, let me stop there for just a moment because Paul is starting to see some things. To begin with, he thought, well, I guess I'm just going to have to bear up under it. But that's not what God was saying. Everything that I've given, whatever Satan brings against you, get this. If you don't get anything else this morning, get this. Everything, every problem, every trial, everything that you have gone through in life or that you have faced, everything that Satan would try to bring against you, everything that would happen that people try to do to you, the people that talk behind your back, the people that try to, just take advantage of you, whatever happens in life, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, it's another way of saying where the devil abounds, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. It is more than enough to take care of every situation that is going on in your life. Amen. Get a concept of what grace is and what it will do in you. Now turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're about to go somewhere. Say that. We're about to go somewhere. Now y'all sit there while we're going there, okay? 1 Peter chapter 5. It's good to read through the whole chapter. Chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who also am an elder. And so this really, I take the scripture very personally because it refers to leadership in a church. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, and this is the key, not by constraint. Don't be forced to do it, but willingly, and not for filthy lucre. In other words, don't go take a job pastoring a church because of the salary that's at the church. Because if the salary and the benefits that come with the job of the ministry is part of the reason that you'll take that position, then what that means is that as soon as that leaves, then you're gone with it. In other words, you're not doing it because God said do it. You're doing it because there is a natural pull to money. And God said you can't serve two masters. And it will limit what God can do in your life and in your ministry. He said, but of a ready mind. Let's look at the next verse. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. In other words, it is not my responsibility as pastor to tell you and to try to direct your life. There are some pastors that think that they have to, that people have to get their permission to marry certain people. They have to get their permission to go move a certain place. In other words, I can't do anything. Pastor, do you think this is the will of God? Pastor, do you think this is the will of God? Hey, I don't have time to go through and make sure that every one of you are in the will of God for your life. I love you all. I want to talk to every one of you, but it just is physically impossible. And so if I set myself up as somebody that you've got to come to get permission to do the will of God in your life, then really I'm not doing my job as a pastor. Because what God says that I'm to do is just to lead, look right here, but just being an example to the flock. In other words, I'm just teaching what God gives me. I lead by the example of my life, and then I help you get to a place that you're hearing the voice of God on your own. And if you're hearing God on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and obeying His voice, then that's great. Go for it. Do it. Does that mean you might make mistakes? Yes. But how are you going to learn unless you step out and do what God is telling you to do? Amen. We have a lot of baby Christians in the church today that all they want to do is they want to hear what the pastor says and they're okay the rest of the week. That is not going to church. Church is about coming together as a body of believers, receive absolutely what's being taught, but go out and listen to the voice of God every day. If I had listened to the voice of God on Friday, I wouldn't have got stuck in I-65 traffic for an hour between 119 and the next exit. Something told me maybe to go a different way as I was going that way. But did I listen to it? No. Why? Because I knew better up here. And it put me an hour behind. Pastor can't call you and say, Wendy, you need to avoid I-65. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is to do. Right. Amen. Right. I'm sorry. Keep going. But being examples to the flock, what does verse 4 say? And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And also, each one of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. I have a number of things to say. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to start saying stuff that the Holy Spirit has given me, okay? And so it may not all come together exactly the right way, but I just have to give it the way that God gave it to me. This is one of the only places in the New Testament, first of all, that when we talk about the goodness of God, how much God loves us, all of these things, that you find God resisting somebody. God resists the proud. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in a position where not only am I on my own doing my own thing, but God is actually resisting and pushing back against that which I'm doing. I don't want to go up against him. But pride will put you in a position where God is not helping your situation at all. This is one area that will keep you out of grace. And then it says here, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, what does it mean to be humble? Look at verse 6. So humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. As I was praying this morning, the Lord said this to me. And I want to say it accurately, and I believe that you have ears to hear what he's saying, okay? Amen. Everything that we receive from God, we receive because of his grace. We didn't do anything to earn it. We can't do anything to earn it. I can't pray enough. I can't read the Bible enough. I can't intercede enough. I can't fast enough to receive what God has given to me by his grace, right? We understand that. But some people have taken that message of grace, and I alluded to this last week, and I want everybody to hear me, but I particularly want young people to hear me this morning. And they've taken the message of grace, and they said, well, then I can still live my life the way that I want to, since I don't earn God's grace, since I don't earn his favor, then I'm okay with talking about things that I shouldn't be talking about, watching things that I shouldn't watch, listening to the kind of music I shouldn't listen to. I'm okay with that because none of that matters when it comes to the grace of God anyway. And so they've taken this, Paul kind of approached it this way and said, don't allow your liberty in Christ, that grace, don't allow that to be an occasion for sin. Now, here's what's happened. People have confused grace with forgiveness. I want to say that again. They've confused grace and forgiveness. Or they've also confused grace and mercy. These are separate things. Thank God for the mercy of God, that when we were sinners, that he forgave us of our sin. Thank God for the forgiveness of what happened 2,000 years ago. My sins have been forgiven. Okay? But the Bible says that the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and to live soberly. Now, right here, let's go back one verse to verse 5. Right here, we're going to see the importance of how grace is to operate in our life. He says, for God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Look at Luke chapter 18. Hold your finger here. Look at Luke chapter 18. And in Luke chapter 18, verse 9, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Anyways, he was speaking this to church-going folk who in themselves knew that they were living the right kind of life. They were righteous, and so as a result, they despised, they looked down on other people. Two men went up into the temple to pray, Jesus said, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not as others. I'm not extortioners, unjust, an adulterer, or even as the publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So he was justifying him based on his actions. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He wouldn't even look up. Jesus said, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The grace of God, let me go back and say it this way. Everything that you need in life has been deposited into, I'm going to just call it a pool, a reservoir of the grace of God. This pool and this reservoir is now available for us to tap into. And so you access the grace of God through faith. And what happens is this. As you go to God, when you decide, here's some areas in my life that I kind of like what I'm doing. I kind of like the way I live my life. I'm okay with this. I really don't want God to mess with this part of my life. I'm okay with, I'm okay with the with this little sin. It's not really hurting me. I'm okay with trying to do things my own way. I'm okay with the wrong kinds of friends. I'm okay with this. I really kind of want to hold on to this. What you have just done is you've just set yourself up, your way of doing things. It has become it's become pride is what it is. In other words, you haven't surrendered some areas of your life to the lordship of Jesus. You said, Jesus, I make you Lord over this area. I make you Lord over when I go to church. I make you Lord over this. But you know what? Here's some things that I'm not willing to let go yet. Now, here's what happens. That pride, doing it your own self, doing it your own way, it's not that God doesn't want to bless you. It's not that he hasn't poured out his blessing upon you. It's that you have refused to humble yourself under his mighty hand. And so you have shut off the supply of grace into your life. See, I'm taking my time this morning because I want to make sure that I'm saying things accurately and that you get what the Spirit of God is saying. Everything that we receive from the grace of God, we receive by believing Him. But grace will create a transformation. Grace is not given just so that we can continue to live a certain way and just like, okay, well, I'm going to continue to receive the blessing of God while I continue in sin. That's not what grace is designed to do. Grace is designed that for me to receive an abundance of grace from God. What that means is I have to humble myself to God and say, God, I'm turning my life over to you. God, I'm submitting myself to you. God, I'm yielding myself to you. I don't want to do things my own way. I've tried to do things my own way. I can't do things my own way. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Jesus had this concept of what it meant to be totally dependent upon God. I'm going to stand here. I'm a tree, okay? My arm's a branch, all right? This arm is you. Fruit hangs off the branch. You see the fruit hanging off? Here's the question. Does the branch produce the fruit? If you look at it, you would think that the branch produces the fruit. Branch doesn't produce the fruit. The branch carries the fruit. The branch displays the fruit. The branch holds on to the fruit. Branch did not produce the fruit. What produced the fruit? All the nourishments and everything that comes from the roots, that comes from the trunk, all of that that goes up through the branch produces the fruit. How can I test this? Cut off the branch. Will it continue to produce fruit? It will not. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are simply the branches. Say, I'm a branch.
I'm a branch.
He said, without me, you can do nothing. Which means that if I cut myself off from the life of God by being prideful and trying to do it my own way, I have just shut off my supply of grace for today. Grace is a reservoir that I want to tap into, and I want to receive out of it the abundance of it. The more that I humble myself, the more that I say, it's not me, but it's Christ in me that is living. The more that I'm like Jesus when he said, it's not me that does the works, but it's the Father in me that's doing the works. The more that I'm allowing my character, my nature, everything that has been changed because I was born again, the more that I allow the grace of God to come in and change me and cause the power of God to operate, cause the fruit of God to be displayed in my life, the more that I rely on that, yield to him and say, no more doing it my own way. I'm going to do it God's way. When that happens, I get into a place that I am receiving the abundance of grace in my life. Amen. Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Peter and John, when they went to the temple to pray and they found the man that was lame from his mother's womb. And he reached down and said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he reached down and he pulled him to his feet. So that's a good example today because he's about to fall asleep on this front row. Oh. But when they all came together to... like, wow, look at this miracle that these men did. Peter said, don't look at us as if by our own holiness or our own power we made this man to walk. It was his name.
Amen.
Faith in his name that has given him this perfect soundness. See, Peter learned something from the day that he got baptized in the Holy Spirit to what he used to be just a month before. You're talking about a transformation. Think about this. Peter, you know, he was so full of himself that Jesus said, you're all going to deny me. And Peter said, oh, no, I'm not going to deny you. No, no, no. I know me. See, sometimes we think we know us until we get into a situation. And what we thought we knew about us, we found out that's not who we are. But Peter said, no, I won't deny you. Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times. And what Peter thought he knew about himself, he found out he wasn't that person. because he had pride in who he was, what he could do. But when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, when he submitted himself to the things of God, when he said, you know what, I'm done with myself. He's the one that talked about this. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. He's the one that talked about this. He's the one that said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now when he goes in the temple to pray, he's no longer thinking about what he is. He's only thinking about who Jesus is in him. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Now listen, the next phrase is important. Exaltation, prestige, status, all of those things that the world is seeking after, those things come from God. Sometimes we try to get ahead of what God wants to do in our life. And so we're trying to figure out, how can I climb the ladder of success? No, man, just humble yourself. Receive from the grace of God. Allow it to change you. Allow the Holy Spirit to direct you. And I promise you, in one day, he can take you from the lowest of the low to the highest of the high. Look at the life of Joseph. He was in prison, and God set him as the second highest in command over the nation at that time. God's the one that did it. Because Joseph continued to trust him in every situation. When you make a decision to begin to get out of yourself and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to yield myself completely and totally to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, no more self-righteousness, no more pride in my life, no more holding on to areas. And you start this journey into the grace of God and just yield yourself, what you're going to find is that you're going to increase your capacity to receive from the fullness of Jesus Christ. You're going to increase your capacity to receive from that abundance of grace. And then these things that have held you for so long, they're just going to start falling off. It's no longer going to be a problem, things that you've struggled with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 18. Let's go over there and look at that real quick. Verse 16. Oh, glory to your name, Jesus. Give me a second. Presence of God just hit me. Thank you, Lord. This is what I'm just seeing things. This is what the Spirit of God is wanting to get across. This is what the heart of God is, that this connection with humbling yourself, yielding to him. He says, in the measure that you're willing to yield will be the measure in which you're going to be able to receive of the abundance of his grace in your life. We've been bought with a price. Our lives are not our own. And sometimes we try to live our lives as if they are our own. But allow Christ to live through us. The fields of his grace, the path that he would take you, is much further, much more, much greater than anything that you could ever dream for yourself. Anything that you could ever think for yourself. Wherever you are right now, whatever you think your plans are for the next year, I'm telling you that if you will receive the abundance of grace that God has for you, he will take you further than you've ever been. Let me give you a testimony. Last year, about this time, my cousin was in a very difficult place. She had worked for a company for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. She hasn't even had a raise in the last 10 years. They're going to close down her her branch, and they were going to force her to move to Chicago. About this time last year, she started coming to me and asking me for counsel, and said, one of the first things you need to do is get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to hear the voice of God. And she got it. I'm talking about, it was a year ago. And then she started walking stuff out. What is God telling you? She said, the next day it was just like warm tropical rain. Just, it was hitting me out here. It was coming from the inside. I said, that's the Holy Ghost. And she said, and I started hearing things. I said, that's the Holy Ghost. Now listen. She didn't know what to do about her job. I said, you got to obey God. She said, yeah, but I've always had this, you know, my job's always been a comfort place. It's always been, you know, I've never stepped out and done anything new. I said, you will never change until you're willing to step out of your comfort zone. You've got to obey what God says to do. And there was a lot of fear there, and she had to deal with it. And finally, she told them, she said, I'm not coming to Chicago. And for her, that meant no job, no income, couldn't make her payments, all of that. She just couldn't know what to do. I said, look, God just wants to take you to a place that you are trusting him totally. And you have lived your life trusting in what you can do in yourself. Now, here's what happened. God, I'm not going to go into the details, but God, over a period of 2 months, created a job for her. It was already in the works before it happened. She gets over there. When she went and interviewed, as she left, they told everybody interviewed her, said, that's who we want. She got into the place, started working like crazy. Now, she started in January, okay? This is just in the last year, right? She started in January. And what happened was, they told her, you will never, you know, there's a culture here. You'll never progress very fast. You know, there is a path to promotion and all of those things that are, you know, very much tied down. And she said, I'm not bound by whatever it is that you think that I'm bound by, because, you know, I serve the Most High God. Amen. Well, then they start throwing her in front of board members, in front of other people to start giving presentations, that things that she's never done before. I told her, I said, look, God is wanting to change who you are. Just let him do it. This past week, her boss was supposed to go up and to present before a congressional committee in Washington. So she got up there to help prepare him, and he called her and he said, you know what? I can't make it. You're going to have to do it. This is, and she said, when I sat down, the peace of God hit me. And she said that because I knew the information more than my boss, I was able to ask the right questions, and we got everything that we wanted. Hallelujah. This coming from a girl that didn't know anything about hearing the voice of God just a year ago. What God has done for her in a year's time, I promise you, a year ago, she would not have even thought possible. I wouldn't have thought it was possible. I've known her all of my life. And if you had told me that she was going to end up in front of a congressional committee a year from now, I would think, man, there is no way. But see, what we think is impossible, God says, I am more than able to do it. But say she just decided to yield. Now, what if she decided, I can't, I've got to hold on, and I'm just going to move to Chicago and go with the safety of my new job? Then she would have missed what God wanted to do. She would have missed the abundance of grace. See, God has given you the grace for whatever situation that you're in. Oh, hallelujah, saints. Wherever you are, the grace of God is there. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of what? Grace. That we may obtain mercy. See, if there's problems, if you've messed up, that's great. You can always go there. Father, I repent. Father, thank you for your forgiveness. Father, I know that what I did wasn't in your will. Father, I just submit that to your will. I humble myself to you. Thank you for your mercy. See, mercy and forgiveness, they're tied together. But now, Father, I need to receive out of your grace. I need to receive out of what you have favored me with. I need to receive what you have given me. So, Father, I now make a demand on that grace because I'm humbling myself to you. Right now, the Spirit of God says that some of you, and yeah, I'm talking about young people as well, that there are areas in your life, there are relationships that you have had, there are things that you have resisted when it comes to the things of God. That God says, turn those over to me. Would you stand with me, please? I want to take just a moment. It says here that we find grace to help in our time of need. As we humble ourselves, he gives grace to the humble. That reservoir of grace begins to be poured out in our lives. Just close your eyes. Examine yourself. Examine your life. This isn't about trying to work your way into grace. This is just simply about saying, Father, I just yield myself to you. Allow the Lord God right now, the Holy Spirit, to reveal to you areas that you've just held on. That you've had pride and that you've said, I just want to do it my way. I'm not going to ask for people to come forward during this time, but I want you to be very serious about this. What a precious move of God that is happening in the hearts of people right now. Oh, hallelujah. It's cleansing. Recommitting. Lift your hands towards heaven and say this with me. Father, I humble myself before your mighty hand. Father, any areas that I've held on to myself, any pride in my life, Father, I renounce it now. And I turn all of those areas over to you in Jesus' name. Father, I receive your grace. I receive the power that comes from that grace. I receive from the fullness of Jesus Christ himself. And Father, I receive not just a little bit. but an abundance of grace. In Jesus' name. Grace is being released right now into your life. Grace is being released into areas that you've had problems with right now. Grace is working on the inside of you. Grace is moving into situations. Even now, as I'm talking, the Spirit of God is moving upon people to fix things that need to be fixed. The hearts of people are being changed right now. Receive grace in the name of Jesus. Now, who needs healing this morning? Let's allow the grace of God to do what it's intended to do. And out of the fullness of grace, let's receive healing. Come up here and let me go ahead and lay hands on you. Glory to God. If you need healing this morning, glory to God. Come here, Eric. Is it your left shoulder? In the name of Jesus. Every tendon, every muscle, every bone, rotator cuff, I don't care what it is. I command it to be healed in Jesus' name. And the pain to leave, and there to be total freedom of movement in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now move it around. Where have you had the problem?
Right in there. Soreness.
Just a soreness?
Yeah.
Now, has it gotten more sore, like when you lift it up higher, or what?
Just a little catch right there.
Yeah? Right here?
Yeah.
Is it sore right now?
A little sore. It feels like a little knot.
Well, it's just... whatever is bound, be loosed in the name of Jesus. Lift your arm up higher.
It just released.
It just released?
It just left.
It just left. Check it. I'm going to go up and down with it now.
It's gone.
It's gone? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I've had some congestion. And when I go to the beach, it goes away and I'm not moving.
She says she's had congestion, but when she goes to the beach, it goes away. But she's not going to move. So, is it just down in here?
It's in my chest, and when I breathe, it sounds like a dog barking.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands towards her right now. Let's.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for complete freedom to breathe in Jesus' name. All congestion, leave now in the name of Jesus. Lungs be free.
Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
It's clear in Jesus' name. It's clear in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Yeah, I can hear the dog.
Yeah, you hear my dog?
Yeah, I hear your dog. Go ahead. Grace. Grace in Jesus' name. Keep breathing. of the work is being done right now in Jesus' name. Sola bakata sike. I don't hear the dog.
The dog is gone.
Breathe. Breathe deep. Wow. Give God a praise offering.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. And it will continue.
Yes, and I don't have to move.
And you don't have to move. We get to keep you here at the church. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's hard to close a service like this. But, Father, we just want to give you one more time, just glory and praise. Father, we receive of your grace. We receive of your wonderful love. Thank you so much. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Come on, give him praise one more time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.